I was a sugar addict for more than a couple of decades, okay? I thought that something was wrong with me inherently. Like, I was ready to go to Overeaters Anonymous because I couldn't control. I'm looking in the fridge every couple hours. I go buy a Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm like, oh, boy, fighting everything, making deals with myself. Okay, if I find a parking spot outside the grocery store, I'll get the donuts. These are the thoughts of a food addict, of someone who is obsessed, and it doesn't matter if you're 400 pounds or you're fit. You can still have this addiction.
Disruption Zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron Mills.
Welcome back to the Disruption Zone. I am Leland Conway along with Cameron Mills, and we're super excited today because we're kind of taking a little bit of a detour from sort of the business innovation and the things like where you power your whole house with a battery and stuff like that into the world of diet and the science behind it. And what is this movement for a dietary process people call paleo or low carb? And we've got a super guest on this morning, Cameron, that's I think would be absolutely awesome.
Well, and this is very personal for you and I, because you've been doing this for 2 years?
About 2 years. Year and a half, really seriously.
Yeah, and have seen the amazing effects to the point where you've got, I don't want to say you've got me on it, because here's what I love about the way you do it, and I think I asked.
Right.
I wanted to know, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And it just started making sense. And
right.
So I've been doing it 2 weeks full bore, and I mean, just good protein, good fat, and no sugary sweet cereals at night.
It's tough, man.
I had to throw away my Frosted Flakes.
But you know, it becomes not
my
tough.
My Captain Crunch.
It becomes not tough. That's the thing, is people look at me weird when I say I don't eat sugar anymore and I don't eat bread. They go, what the? And I'm like, no, seriously, I don't want it.
Yeah.
I don't want it.
Like maybe 10 days, you kind of, a little bit of suffering through it, and then you don't desire it anymore.
So here's how I got started on this. My dad lost 30 pounds from a book he found at a truck stop after he'd been assigned to basically take insulin shots for the rest of his life. He didn't want to accept that. He loses 30 pounds, gets his insulin under control. I start investigating it. I come across a website called Mark's Daily Apple, this dude named Mark Sisson. And I'm like, the thing about me is I'm skeptical. I like the science behind things. And he's got science to back it up. And then I start reading and listening to his podcast, and there's this wonderful lady named Elle Russ who works with him, who is an actress and a writer and is very big on the knowledge behind this stuff. And she happens to be with us now to help kind of explain some of the paleo primal movement that came out of all of this. Elle, welcome to the program. How are you?
Oh, great. So glad to be here. And I'm so glad to talk about this topic. You know, one thing is you guys were just mentioning that's you said, you know, you don't even want it. Here's the thing. For everyone listening right now, I was a sugar addict for more than a couple of decades, okay? I thought that something was wrong with me inherently. Like, I was ready to go to Overeaters Anonymous because I couldn't control. I'm looking in the fridge every couple hours. I go buy a Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm like, oh, boy, fighting everything, making deals with myself. Okay, if I find a parking spot outside the grocery store, I'll get the donuts. These are the thoughts of a food addict, of someone who is obsessed, and it doesn't matter if you're 400 pounds or you're fit. You can still have this addiction. And what you just said really rings true, and it's the surprising thing for everybody that goes down this road, which is once you get past the hump, which is not too long. So let me give you experience. I was recently traveling, and I was in an airport, and I saw a Dunkin' Donuts, which I'm from downtown Chicago. Dunkin' Donuts is the jam. That's like what we grew up on, loving to go get as a treat. And I see the Dunkin' Donuts in the thing, and it's like wasn't even a thought. Now, many years ago, I would have been, fighting.
Be
okay,
all
well,
on
I'll have
that
the donuts,
donut.
Then I won't eat later, or I'll go work out again later, or just deals. And instead, it was like, I had this moment of like, oh my God, I'm so glad I don't care. Because when you are a food addict, all you do is think about food. When you have a meal, you're already gauging the next one. And for people listening that know what that's like, it's hell.
Yeah.
So that's an amazing benefit. Yeah.
Elle, I'm actually impressed that you would make a deal with yourself. I wouldn't bother making deals. I would get the donut. There'd be no deal like, oh, well, if I do this, I can have it. No, I'm just going to have it.
I'm just going to have the donut.
And by the way,
listen,
hot Krispy Kremes are so much better than anything Dunkin' has.
Yeah, that's true. If you want to have that argument, Elle, we can have that debate.
hey, and if you want to have a Chicago, New York pizza argument, I'll jump in on that one as well.
What we're talking about, Elle, that's different. Don't bring it. No, don't don't bring another topic into this argument. We're talking donuts now.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'll tell you about Krispy Kreme. I went through it. This is a talk about making deals years ago. Still a sugar addict, but I was fit. So, again, I was still suffering on the inside, but I was doing the wrong paradigm and dying every 3-4 hours. But I had a body that looked like, oh, yeah, she's got it dialed in. And I remember I went with a friend. We went to a Krispy Kreme drive-through in the middle of the night in, like,
yep. That's when you go.
South Central LA or something really bad.
Because that's when the hot sign's on.
Donuts. Yeah, drive-through. We went through drive-through. We got like a dozen donuts. We woke up the next morning. We ate all of them with coffee, and then we went on a 10-mile hike.
Wow, that must have hurt.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like we were like, all right, well, if we're gonna do this. But the thing is that I wouldn't even want to do that now. That would make me just grossed out. But again, you can still be fit and active and have a sugar addiction.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let's talk about this, and then I want my co-host to ask you some questions after this, because he's the newbie who's coming into this, and I think his point of view on asking you questions will be pretty beneficial. But let me start with this basic thing, Al. Why is sugar, and by extension bread, bad for you?
Right. Well, anyone can just Google, you know, why grains are unhealthy, and look at Mark's Daily Apple article about it. They're anti-nutrient. We don't really need the fiber that everyone tells us is in there. When I say anti-nutrient, is that whatever nutrients are in it still inhibit others, so it's a little bit of a cross-off. Grains, particularly gluten, also ignite autoimmune disorders such as Hashimoto's, rheumatoid arthritis, and more. So that we know, but moving back to just the generalness of it, Paleo Primal Ancestral is really based on our DNA as human beings. And the reason sugar is so bad, and I'll just give a very obvious example to everybody. If you're out there, and let's say you had cancer in your body, and the doctors were trying to figure out where it is, they will inject you with glucose so that the cancer cells will light up.
Wow.
All right. Okay. That says a lot right there. It says a lot, which is why people who are going through chemotherapy who have had cancer are often told to strictly cut out sugar and go on a very low carbohydrate diet, sometimes like 12 carbohydrates a day, which is extremely low. But for things like cancer and for things like traumatic brain injury, sometimes the only thing that really helps and that's inflammatory, which is state of ketosis, which is extremely low carb, no sugar, is to really starve the body of sugar to let it heal. So that just says a lot. If they're injecting your body with glucose and sugar to find the cancer, because cancer loves sugar, cancer cells love sugar, and they'll light up when the sugar hits that cell, that should tell kind of everyone what they need to know a little bit.
And to clarify, too, bread essentially becomes sugar in your body, right? Yeah. I mean, it's glucose.
When people say, well, I don't have a sweet tooth, it's not a problem. I go, do you eat chips? Right. Do you eat bread?
Yeah.
Do you eat, you know, that is the same thing. It turns into sugar. And so, for example, another thing about glucose, accelerated aging is related to something we call glycation, which happens. And anyone, I don't want to get too in the science and get in the weeds with people, but essentially, if you're looking for an anti-aging situation as well, and for everything to work optimal, what we found is that the lowest levels of insulin, you know, that are pervasive through beings, living animals, and humans are the ones that live the longest.
So the less
you don't really want it, you don't want insulin to keep being tapped. So here's another example. Let's say you're an athlete, you're fit, like I was. But you're still on this sugar-burning train, meaning you're eating the carbs, you're burning them, you're eating the carbs, you're going to Dunkin' Donuts, you're hiking, right? What you might think you're, quote, getting away with this because you look fit, but if you test your blood, you're likely a pre-diabetic nightmare, and it's because at the end of the day, you keep knocking on the door of that pancreas to release insulin. Whether you're processing the sugar or burning it or not, you're still tapping it, and eventually it's going to get tired. You know, and that's what leads to type 2 diabetes. So you don't want to keep knocking on that door unless you have to. Now, insulin is an important, fat storage hormone. And, you know, there's things about it that we need insulin, but really we don't want excess insulin. So that goes for everybody. So even people who are fit and athletes are finding out that they're pre-diabetic and they're like, how is this possible? And it's because it doesn't matter how fit you look or how good you feel, the damage is happening on the inside and you're not seeing it.
Let's go to this, though, because you mentioned it like three or four times already, and that's what you just closed with right there, that you looked fit. You looked like you're in shape. Anyone from the outside looking in would say, all right, she's got it together, right? Or she's got good genes, one of the two.
Yeah.
But
sure.
Can you speak to, because this is what Leland and I've talked a lot about, is I just, the last 2 weeks, that's all I've done this thing. I just feel better. I can't explain really how. It's not like, I just feel better, and it may be placebo at this point. I don't care, or I don't know. But can you kind of speak to that? Because look, one thing I noticed a few years ago when I was, let's say testosterone deficient, right? I didn't realize how bad I felt until I felt better. And I think a lot of times we can get so, because it's a slow crawl towards neutral or towards negative.
Right.
We just think this is what is. This is what's supposed to be. I'm 42 years old. I'm looking on the downtrend now. It's just going to get worse from here on out. And we don't realize how much better we could feel because we don't remember what it felt like when things were functioning normally because we've been eating so bad.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because this is the case with people who have slumped into disorders related to eating on the wrong paradigm, like hypothyroidism, which what you know my book, The Paleo Thyroid Solution, is about, or other disorders. And it again, it's like a slow fall where that becomes the normal, and then you just go, oh, I guess I'm getting old, or my brain, you know. And it's all these like sort of excuses, but then, like you said, you try it, and you're like, how is this possible? So the reason you're feeling better is probably a lot of things. First of all, you're getting rid of all the crappy oils and junk that are inflammatory. So often people in the first couple of weeks or months will drop just 10 pounds in like inflammation and water weight alone because they've just been so inflamed by things they didn't realize were even a problem. And you also don't realize how much your body gets used to it. So I just challenge anyone, if you quit grains for a month, and then you reintroduce it, you will see how they affect you. It's almost like your body adjusts as much as you are pounding it with to try to figure it out. So over time, it's like, yeah, no, I don't have a problem with grains. And so you eliminate it, and then you reintroduce it, and you're like, oh, my God, how is that possible? So one of the reasons you feel better is probably things are de-inflaming. Also, too, let's talk about testosterone. This is really important. Being on a carbohydrate dependency cycle, like most athletes are, although most of them are switching over to a low-carb paradigm now, will have low testosterone issues. It's a combination of overtraining, which is the old paradigm, and then being on this carbohydrate wheel. So why does it mess with testosterone? Here's why. When you're a sugar burner, meaning you're somewhat hypoglycemic, like how do you know you're a sugar burner? Okay, everyone listening, if you can't go 6, 8, 12, 24 hours without food, without having a hangry meltdown, wanting to kill somebody, then or a brain lapse like energy, you're a sugar burner. If you're a fat burner and you get adapted, you truly can go 8, 12, 24, 2 days without any food and not have, you could work out, you could lift weights. You want, why? Because being a fat burner is so sustaining. It's actually what our DNA expects of us. It would prefer to be mostly fueled by fat versus sugar. Sugar's just a cheap source. And we would have once a year we would have ran into a honey tree or a blueberry bush as our ancestors weren't shoving their mouths with this stuff. That's why every commercial on television is for type 2 diabetes or blood glucose,
yeah,
you know, controlling medication. So again, we can just look at our world. I mean, we're all roughly the same age, right? I mean, when I was growing up, we didn't have these commercials for diabetes at all. Like, I didn't even know it existed. Now it's just a hot topic. So that's why you're feeling better. Your brain's also getting satiated. So you're not probably having the drops. So here's what happens. Let's say you're a sugar burner and it's been 4 hours. Okay. Blood sugar starts to drop. That's when you're like, I'm getting tired. I'm hungry again. I need to eat food. Then you eat food and then you wake up again 4 hours later. Now we go. Each time there's that drop, each time there's that rise, the body doesn't like those sharp rise and falls. It likes steadiness. So when those rise and falls happen, cortisol, which is the fight or flight adrenal hormone from our adrenal glands, will respond, and that is antagonistic to testosterone. So if you want to maintain and increase or repair your testosterone levels, you should be getting on this paradigm for the purposes of how it works with blood glucose and adrenals and hormones.
So just to be clear,
they are all related.
Just to be clear here, if you don't want man boobs, you need to change your diet.
That might be a stretch, but okay.
Well, right?
No, it's not, actually. You're right. Actually, I know men who've gotten man boobs from, you know, drinking a lot of milk that wasn't organic and getting extra estrogens. Or, you know, I mean, there's guys, listen, if you're not waking up with erections in the morning, you better take a look at some stuff like your DHEA levels and your free and total testosterone. But and you guys will talk to Brad Kearns at some point, and he'll talk about this. You can ask him because he mentions it publicly. He had a period of time where he was playing speed golf, which is very intense, and he was just having so much fun. He didn't even think about it being overworking out, and he started to not recover as well after workouts, be tired, and it really turned out his testosterone has dropped. He fixed all of that, and it went right back up to high school levels, and wow, he was like 51 when that happened. So this is repairable. But to go straight to taking testosterone from a doctor versus looking at maybe the root cause behind why your testosterone is low in the first place, that's the issue we all like. Stop. How about the messages? Let's stop looking at patching stuff up and look at where the problem came from.
A couple of things that I want to get to. I want to make sure that, okay, Leland's been doing this 2 years. You're an expert on it. I'm just into it 2 weeks. But there's so much knowledge in here, especially between you and Leland. As a newbie, I want to make sure we kind of outline as basically as we can what we're talking about. Okay, so we've talked about no sugars. All right, you've mentioned no grains. I think I talked about proteins, you know, good proteins and good fats. But at its basic level, what are we doing?
Well, the first place you need to start is this. People need to, and again, everyone can track macros and how much protein they're eating, but essentially, if you are new to this whole world, the first thing you need to start doing is just look up online how many grams of carbs are in what you're eating, everything. For example, a bunch of asparagus cooked is 20 grams of carbohydrate, okay? It's a vegetable. It's good for you. It's a great kind of carb, but it's still 20 grams of carbs. People don't think about that. You drink one green juice with a little bit of apple in it, that whole thing can be 30 grams of carbohydrates. So you start to look up and see what's in what, and then here's how the day looks. Start to look at how many carbs are you eating. Most people in this country are eating 300 grams of carbohydrates or more, which is super danger zone. With Primal Paleo, particularly the Primal Blueprint, we say, hey, no more than 150 grams of carbohydrates a day total, unless you are literally an NBA basketball player or a bricklayer. And when I say athlete, basketball player, I don't mean you even work out 2 hours a day and you're a badass fitness person. I mean, oh no, you're like a professional athlete. Right. So that's most people need to be under 150 grams total of carbohydrates a day. Now, I'm a woman and I'm 5'2". I'm small. For me, I can't really handle, some days I could overcarb it, but for me, I don't go over. So for small women, I say start around 100 total. Now, from there, you can kind of adjust. And there's certain levels. You can go super low carb, and go to 50. You can go lower than that. That's a whole different story, which you want to be prepared for, which is called ketosis. That's usually lower than 50 grams of carbohydrates a day. That is an incredible healing modality, like I mentioned, for cancer and other things, and even insidious weight, hard to lose weight. But it's not something people should jump into right away. They need to prepare themselves. You've got to get fat adapted first and go down this road. So you're looking at less than 150 grams of carbohydrates a day if you're a dude. And if you're a woman, you're looking at, maybe start around 100 and then kind of adjust from there. And you find your own sort of carbohydrate threshold over time. Protein and fat is a whole other ballgame there, too. So this paradigm is essentially high fat, moderate protein, low carb. That doesn't mean you get to eat all the fat you want in the world. You could, but you could still get fat on a high fat diet, low carb, if you're way overdoing it. So one of the things people need to look at, men and women, is overeating protein. We overeat protein. I am guilty of this, even though I'm 5'2". I used to put away a 32-ounce steak. And when I really looked at the level of protein I was eating, it was like the level that a 6'2 dude who is 220 would be eating. And that can be inflammatory. And when we overeat protein, it'll turn into glucose, which is a wonderful mechanism that our ancestors had when there was nothing around but animals and fat, right?
Yeah.
So that in the event of not getting carbohydrates, basically, here's the deal. Human beings don't ever really need to eat a carbohydrate for the rest of their life, and they'll live. But you will die without protein and fat. End of story. And now that you know that excess protein can convert into glucose, that was a little bit like a slow-release mechanism back in the day when we were wandering around and killed the buffalo and had nothing more for a week. Well, our body would go into ketosis, start using the fat And ketones is fuel to fuel our brain, to give us energy to keep going, to find the next animal. And all that excess protein would convert into glucose. Our body makes glucose per day. We just can't store that much. We can only store like 200 grams within all the organs and stuff. So back to the sugar burner. If you're on the treadmill every day, working out past your max, sweating it out, you're depleting the glucose from your stores. And then afterwards, you're going to be sore and tired and then want to eat. When I go work out, because I'm a fat burner now, I don't have to eat for hours afterwards if I don't feel like it. So now, if you're a sugar burner, you better, because if you go too long without eating, your muscles will start to catabolize.
Let me ask you a question, Al.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna kind of interrupt you there and say, what, like, for you being on this, what is your diet like? Yeah. Give me a typical day in L. Russ's life in terms of what you eat, as a model for what somebody might be thinking. Okay, so what does this look like?
Right.
Sure. Well, you know, the funny thing about it is it looks scary to most people, because when you go down this train, usually people are food addicts to begin with, and you're eating a lot of food. Even
right.
Overeating healthy food can be inflammatory. So just overeating in general is kind of a bad thing. So it looks scary to people, because in this Paleo Primal community, we always say, wow, it's so weird. I eat so much less than I ever did before.
I found that.
And when you're a sugar addict, and you hear that, you go, oh, no, I don't. No. I can't. I want to eat more than I'm eating now. I don't even want you. It's like you can't even imagine it. So what I'll tell you, like how my day went today or how my days go, are probably not for everyone to start off at, right? It's where you kind of get to, because I've been doing this a while. But essentially, I have about a 4 or 6 hour eating window. I don't really eat like all day long. There's just kind of a chunk of period of time where I'll eat within that window, which works best for me. So it's kind of called an intermittent fasting profile. So right now, it's almost noon where I live. I woke up at 6 o'clock. I had coffee black. And then I'm going to go work out. I don't really like eating food at the beginning of the day. It's just not I've never been a breakfast person. Some people are. It's fine. And so I had just had, before you guys called, I had a cup of bone broth with some collagen in it, and I had half an avocado with some salt and a bite of tuna. Just a little something to kind of just, you know, but not a full meal, just enough. I have half that avocado, which is fat, and some carbohydrates. The collagen, which is going to repair so many things, is good for your gut, and it's low protein. And then the bone broth, which anyone can look up, is incredible for connective tissue and a host of other ailments. So I might do that, or I might just have half an avocado, some coconut butter, and then go to the gym or go work out or hike. And then starting around, you know, between 1 and 6 is when I'll eat, and I'll eat whatever I want in that time. And, you know, could be anything from, it definitely will involve animal protein of some kind. I eat everything from marrow bones to liver to fish. What, it doesn't matter. You don't have to eat red meat to be paleo primal. Vegetables are an important part of this too. You know, listen, that's where you get your fiber. And, you know, that's also, again, just a good source of healthy antioxidants and carbohydrates. So I do eat vegetables. I think people think they need more vegetables than they do, and they end up bloating themselves up because they're like, I need to eat a crap load of salads, and veggies is the way to go. And, you know, so the other thing, too, is over time, you become a little bit more intuitive about this. So at first, you know, you can do meal plans, you can track macros. And once you kind of get comfortable with it and you're cleaned out, you become intuitive. Like, I know when I kind of need an apple. Okay. You know, I know when I need some glucose, and I also know now I need some fat right now. Those things just are practice over time with being intuitive with oneself. And you can't be intuitive when you're all clogged up with canola oils and crap from the pantry.
Let me interrupt you here.
It takes about 3 to 4 weeks to really switch over to fat burning. And again, the first 2 weeks can be rough for some people. I did not have a good time going off becoming a cracky addicty, sugar addicty to fat burner. Your brain is going, reach for the sugar because it's addicted to it. So there's some arguments that can happen in the first couple of weeks. Some people have it easy on the third day, and some people like me, it took, you know, 2.5 weeks in to finally have the light bulb go off.
Can I ask you a real quick question? And I know camera's loaded for bear over here. So, but just real quick, can you just clarify, like, canola oil?
Yeah.
Okay. This stuff's really bad, as are pretty much all of the seed oils, except maybe certain types of sunflower oil. But why is it bad? Because everything we eat has it. If you go out to a restaurant, even if you eat paleo, you're eating probably canola oil. It's been fried in it. It's been cooked in it. It's everywhere. Why is it bad?
Well, and it's funny because now that it's been out of my life for so long, when I eat something with weird oil in it, like accidentally from traveling or something
you
like
know,
that.
No, don't you?
Yeah.
Right. No, but whenever I have done that, like I feel it in my throat. Like now, like I feel a gross film of some kind where I'm like, uh oh, I think I ate. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Something like wrong. You know what? Canola oil and all these other oils. I mean, look, they're kind of, I mean, if we look at it all, they're sort of like so non-natural anyway, like cultivated. But they are really at the bottom line. They are inflammatory. They are inflammatory. So what? Why does that matter? Well, because at the base of every single disease is inflammation. And, you know, again, this is canola oil and soy oil was like the answer to embargoes back in the day on coconut oil products. Remember when we were growing up, they're like, don't eat Mountain Joy bars because the coconut palm oil will stay in your body for 7 years. I mean, that was all propaganda.
Right.
And so, you know, we look back and we go, oh, my gosh, the thing they once told us was good for you or whatever is now they're switching it with something else.
How about this one, Elle? How about this one? Let me throw this at you.
Anyways, sorry, go.
Heart healthy whole grain.
Yeah. All right. So first of all,
you said propaganda. That's the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah. It's totally propaganda this is not about conspiracy theories.
No.
This is just business as usual, right? We've got lobbyists and we've got farmers and we've got the big agriculture and they're all going to tell you that grains are great for you. I just want to say, first of all, most of them are genetically modified, and that goes to the same with, you know, like things like canola oil. Anyway, just the acid within the rapeseed oil, which is called canola oil, though rapeseed is a terrible name. That's why they didn't use that one. Also we're talking about insecticides. Let's get back to grains for a second. So grains, aside from what I just told you about, we know that gluten for sure triggers autoimmune disorder. So I'll just explain one for a second. Hashimoto's is an autoimmune disorder that affects the thyroid. What happens is gluten in certain grains, there's obviously gluten-free grains, but rye, barley, wheat, those are the main ones. Gluten kind of mimics a thyroid protein. So when the autoimmune system makes a mistake when you eat gluten and thinks that it's a thyroid particle, it'll start attacking your thyroid, which is why people with Hashimoto's disease or rheumatoid arthritis really should not be eating grains, legumes, and things like that, because they will just ignite. That we know for sure. So that just says a lot right there. We've seen people with antibodies in 600, and then they quit grains, and the antibodies will go down to almost undetectable levels. So anyone with autoimmunity issues should totally be, you know, looking at their gluten consumption. And I just also warn people, when you go gluten-free, people look at the gluten-free cookies. Sometimes there's cornstarch in that. And, you know, there's all sorts of other potential corn glutens and things. So I just say, if you're going to do it strict for at least a month and see what happens. Grains aren't healthy for so many reasons. Like I said, they are. This whole fiber thing, well, don't you need the fiber? And let me tell you something. The one big thing people don't let go of is the oatmeal. They're like, but what about oatmeal? Oatmeal is a good one, right?
That was an early question I got from Cameron was, can't I have my oatmeal? And I said, no.
For one.
I've got it.
Yeah.
I said, no, you can't have any oatmeal, Cameron. That was your first question,
right,
wasn't
right.
it?
Well, it's funny. Sometimes grains are, what they do is they kind of like, they're high fiber, but they kind of bang up against the cells lining the gastrointestinal tract, and they kind of rupture. We also know from, I think it's a Harvard or Yale study, wheat, rye, and barley for sure cause intestinal permeability in all humans. What does that mean?
That sounds horrible.
Long story it's horrible. It's essentially called leaky gut. What does that mean? It's
that
awful.
That sounds
anyone
even worse.
Look up the details, but essentially
come on.
Your gut becomes permeability, meaning like loosens up the lining, and then literally toxic poop and gross stuff from your intestines will leak out into your bloodstream.
You said
and
poop and we laugh because we're dudes.
You can go back and edit that out.
No. You said poop.
Yeah.
We're dudes and we laugh because you said poop. So, but
you're just saying it over and over again.
It sounds like an old sheet though. You know how a sheet kind of wears thin? I mean, that's kind of what your intestines become, right?
It really does. And also, too, there's toxic anti-nutrients within grains. So, again, like, so one of those things is called lectins. They bind insulin receptors. They attack the stomach lining of insects and bind the human intestinal lining. And they seem to cause certain other issues. So, again, there's that. There's gluten. You know, there's phytates. They're often a problem, too, because they can make minerals biounavailable. So who cares if you're ingesting all these great vitamins and minerals, then you're now eating grains and they're kind of canceling it out.
Right.
But the fiber thing is the biggest BS marketing thing anyone will ever tell you. You get more for your money per square inch of vegetables with fiber than you do with grains. And honestly, grains are not meant for human consumption.
Right.
They really are not. We never ate these things back in the day. And I want to just throw this out because a lot of people are like, well, but grains are in the Bible. All right. Listen, it doesn't even matter what your beliefs are, okay? Here's the thing. The Bible is a certain amount of years old, and it doesn't even matter if you think the earth is 5,000 years old or 14 million or whatever. The bottom line is the grains you're eating now are nowhere near the grains they're eating in the Bible.
That's
so
a great
unless
point.
You're soaking and you're doing all the right stuff at home, and anyone can go look up Ben Greenfield Fitness. He will occasionally eat grains, but he does it the old-fashioned way. No one's doing that.
Yeah.
So you're not really eating what you think you are. And frankly, the Bible is written at a time where we had already domesticated animals and started on the train. 10,000 years ago is when we started to go, all right, let's stop walking around.
Yeah.
Maybe set up some shop. We'll farm animals.
That's when we started farming.
That's when it all went to crap, right there.
Well, and don't they have, like, I don't know if you would call it fossil records or not, but they've been able to look back at Paleo Man and say, look, if this guy survived getting eaten by a saber-toothed tiger, he probably lived to be 95, 100, and he was probably still running around, jumping, hanging from trees, killing saber-toothed tigers if he could get up on them.
Were those the only animals around?
Well, I'm just throwing that out there. At 90 years old, right? Yeah. I mean, he was still, at 90 years old, you still look like you're a dude in your prime based on those records, right?
Absolutely, and I'm glad you brought that up because a lot of people's objection is, oh, really? Cavemen were so healthy? Why was the average lifespan 35 years?
I've heard that like four times this week. Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, how do we get an average or median of something, right? So what they're not accounting for when you look at how that average was is most of the ancestral, our ancestors who made it beyond, like, the poisonous tree or the saber-tooth scratch, didn't have an urgent care around, got infected and died. You made it past puberty or childbirth for women. You made it past puberty, you often lived into your 80s and 90s with no health problems, and you were a badass. But we have to account for the fact that people didn't know that berry was poisonous. Someone died there in childbirth. Someone fell off got their leg severed and, oops, sorry, can't walk with the pack anymore. We'll leave you at that tree. So people are factoring that into the equation is that median age.
And the way I see it is
And also I want to talk about records. Anyone can look up a book called The Paleo Manifesto by John Durant. He's paleo expert from Yale. And he wrote a book. This book is all about this stuff, and they've discovered skulls of ancestors from over 80,000 years ago. The skull, the teeth, the jawbone, everything, even all the teeth, are perfectly lined and perfectly intact.
Interesting.
When they look at the skulls that they have dug up from 10,000 years ago or 11,000 years ago when farming, from like a farmer, the skull structure, the teeth, all corroded, and that is from grains. Now, I want to throw this out there, too. So we didn't get sugar. Sugar didn't really come on the scene until, 300 years ago. So there used to be this, really awful old stereotype about British having bad teeth, right? And it just used to be a thing when I was growing up.
I think it's an old stereotype.
Yeah. And it's not true. But here's where the truth of it actually lies, is that they were the first people to get sugar.
Huh. That's true.
So
actually.
It's like, okay, and John Durant points that out in his book as well. So there's, if you want to look at the paleontology digging up bones and look at the science behind actually how that relates, also taller in stature as well were the ancestors.
When
you look at the evidence and you can see the physical evidence, he has it. The Paleo Manifesto is a great science book for those who want to geek out on that stuff.
Definitely check it out. And I want to say this too, because based on what you're saying too, if we know now what it was like with Paleo Man, but we have modern technology to protect us from the tiger and the infection, we have no excuse.
First of all, we do have an excuse, and I'm going to make it for all of us right
okay,
now.
Okay, go ahead.
We've been lied to.
Yeah, well, that's true.
We've been taught a certain way. I mean, and look, if you're out there listening right now, and you look, I'm like I said, I'm 10 days into this, and I'm starting to see the light in all of it, okay? Mm-hmm. I am just, I have a lack of trust for many great things in my life, especially big institutions.
Right.
I never thought about that, though, when it came to the government, what they tell me. But you start looking into this and you realize, but they're benefited, or, you know, it's the whole banks were too big to fail.
Right, right.
Well, the whole farming
sugar's
thing.
Too
yeah,
big
well, let's,
to fail.
Let's talk about that. The FDA, let's talk about the government food pyramid. Our government food pyramid, if you look it up right now, is a diabetes-making diet. It suggests
yes.
10 to 11 servings of grains a day plus 2 to 4
how
servings
of fruit.
How
do you do that?
I'll tell you
diabetes.
How. I'll tell you how.
High diabetes.
I'll tell you how. Big bowl of Frosted Flakes or Captain Crunch at 11 o'clock at night. That's how I did it.
I don't know.
That's my power.
How do you do 11 servings?
Yeah.
Well, you start with one, and like El said, you're not you just want to keep eating.
I know. I'm sorry, El. Go ahead.
No, I mean it's a thing, you know, it's such a anyway, there's a book called Death by Food Pyramid, which goes through all the shoddy practices, the shady, underhanded things to get that food pyramid. But even the diabetes, I was in Hawaii and I was in a doctor's office and I saw this diabetes foundation. Here's the food pyramid, which
right.
is the government
yeah.
food pyramid. And I looked at the doctor and I go, that's a diabetes making diet. How could you hang that on your wall?
Yeah.
How can you hang that on your wall?
And he said,
kind of threw his hands up like, well, whatever. And it's like, no, not whatever,
right,
dude.
Right, right.
You're giving people diabetes.
Right. All right. So that's my point is that. Whether it's intentional, whether it's not intentional, look, if we don't even think that there's the possibility that the people we should be trusting the most or think we're trusting the most, we shouldn't on many different things. Just look at the studies that roll through the 24-hour news cycle all the time, because there will be something that came out last year. And all the news agencies are careful to use the word suggest.
Mm-hmm. New study suggests.
Findings mm-hmm. suggest, okay. So they suggest this. If you wait a year, guess what? Another study will come out. They'll say findings suggest the opposite.
They did that with bacon. They did that with salt.
With eggs.
They did it with salt. They did it with eggs.
How mad am I that they demonized bacon ever for me? I was so ticked off. I ate extra bacon after finding out it wasn't. I was just like, this is a joke. Now, we do want to say that in the paleoprimal community, we emphasize and really do strongly suggest that you get properly sourced meat, meaning pasture-raised animals that are not eating grains. So, okay, let me explain this. So for people out there that are like, really, how are grains bad for you? They're also bad for the cows that also are on your steak, and here's why. So just like we're humans, we're omnivores. Our DNA expects us to eat the flesh and the fat of animals and vegetables. If you decide to become a vegan or vegetarian, you are deciding to go against your natural DNA. That's okay, just there might be pitfalls. Warning. But here's the other thing. So cows. Cows are meant to eat grass.
Right.
They have four stomachs. The reason they do is because they have to process high amounts of cellulose that you and I as humans cannot. We are not meant to eat grass. Horses don't eat ribeye steaks. You don't cook up a ribeye or a bowl of pasta and give it to a horse, okay? Because that would be mean, because they have their own set of DNA that requires what they function on properly. So now we start to fatten up cows, and they're living on the side of a freeway in muddy, crappy whatevers, no grass, and we're pumping them with grains to fatten them up quickly because it's also cheap. And then what happens? They get sick because they're not eating their native diet, and then they're administered antibiotics. Because people are always wondering, why do you say no antibiotics on the meat package? Why would antibiotics even be a thing? That's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Now, the fat on that animal that's eating the grains, the toxicity and the ratio of their omega-3s and things like that. If you get a steak that's from a restaurant and you don't know where it's from, then just don't eat the fat off that steak and put butter on it instead.
Okay.
As a little bit of a hack.
But ask for real butter.
It's better to eat the better meat, but yeah. Grass-fed and pastured meat is, you know, now becoming more readily available. You can do cow pooling with a neighbor and buy, you know, a cow together with some people, get it all chopped up and sent to your house, shrink wraps and stuff. So there's ways to do it. Pastured eggs are the way to go. They're a little bit more expensive, but the same thing. The chickens are roaming and eating bugs and rocks and whatever else they're supposed to. So same with cows or anyone else. When we go away from what our primal blueprint DNA expects of us as humans, we fail. And anyone listening who doubts that, I would just challenge anyone to, are you eating the government food pyramid or anything close to it? And how are you doing? Because
right.
I doubt there's one person out there that's like, I'm doing great on that. Yeah.
Well, or they'll tell you that because they haven't come to the realization that Cameron and I were talking about earlier, that they feel bad and don't even know it.
Yeah.
Because when you're 42, you should, you know, I can remember before I started this diet, I heard myself, I heard myself a couple of times. I get up out of my chair. And I'm going, wait a minute. Yeah. I am not my dad. I'm, you know.
And you should be out there battling saber-toothed tigers.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and I can testify to some of what, well, a lot of what Al has said here in terms of the effects of this. Like, I've gotten into arguments with my brother-in-law before, Al, about the fact that there is there is a major taste difference between just a steak you grab in the grocery store and when I go and get a local farm-sourced piece of meat. I mean, when I grill that up, the tenderness, the taste, the texture, all of it is totally different. And here's the most important thing. When you're set in and you're dialed in on this diet, I can feel the difference in how I feel after I eat just a regular store-bought steak and not. Now, if you don't have the money to buy that, I get it, and it's still better than going to the fast food place. But there is a difference.
Now, and I will say this, too. That's one thing that I've thought a lot about. Okay, so because now the last week I've been going to Whole Foods a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, and you can find a lot of this stuff at the regular supermarket.
Sure.
You got to look harder.
Yeah.
It's not where you're used to going.
And Kroger has those little green signs. They do a good job with that.
So, yeah, and you can find a lot of this at Kroger. But I went to Whole Foods because I not only not been to Whole Foods, I had railed against Whole Foods and just that pretentiousness of the whole entity. And so I walked in. I got to say, they're very friendly over there.
Yes, they are.
Anyway, but I mean, it's not that much more expensive. No. There are certain items, like the almond butter.
Right.
Lena and I got almond butter this week. Sounds like we're a married couple. We got almond, but I sent him a picture, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's on sale. Well, it was on sale for like $12 to $9. I thought it was getting like 50% off.
$3 is $3, babe.
But you didn't, you know, you said three, you saved 12 because you got four jars.
I saved $3 a piece.
That's what I'm saying.
I did save 12, you're right.
The point is that, there's some stuff that is a lot more expensive than what you're used to.
Yeah.
And I think in general, eating this way is going to be more expensive. But not that much.
I'm glad you brought this
up.
Okay,
well, tell me
why. Yeah, this is great.
At first it is. At first it is, and here's why. So at first it is because you're likely going to be eating the same volume of food, right? Because you're just still used to eating, right? You're not fat adapted yet and totally satiated. So it'll seem more expensive at first. But what happens is, and anyone can look this up, but as you go down the road of becoming fat adapted, meaning your body starts to turn over from using glucose as its primary fuel and starts to use fat, you become calorically efficient. And this is what I was talking about earlier, where suddenly you start to realize you're eating less and less food overall. And it becomes a total mind F because you're like, wait a minute, how is this even possible? You know, because sometimes it seems like, how am I able to live off of so little compared to what I was before? It's because you become calorically efficient. Your body becomes more efficient at processing the things it's giving you. So over time, as you get fat adapted, it does become cheaper because you're actually buying less food overall, so that the more expensive pastured eggs or the organic whatever, actually, it kind of evens out. But here's the thing. Even if you are like broke as a joke, you can still do this. Just clean out the junk. I mean, listen, if you can't buy organic, then at least eat the right food groups and do your best.
Well,
I tell
people,
you're going to be on a better train anyway because you're eliminating the seed oils and all the junk. And so it's still going to be a better train.
And
over time, it actually evens out and becomes kind of sometimes cheaper.
Well, I think in the end, if you can avoid going to the doctor two or three times a year and spending X amount of money on statins because your cholesterol was high because you spent so much time eating the bad oil and fried your eggs in all the wrong oils and things like that. I think if you can avoid those
eggs and oils, it's butter now, baby.
I know, exactly.
Okay, well, you're gonna love this. I was out to dinner the other night with a friend from my gym, and he's like, I don't eat red meat, and I go, oh, well, why don't you eat red meat? He's like, well, you know, 20 years ago, when I go, you know, all of those studies are totally debunked. So just for the audience, the whole idea that like, oh, steak is bad for you, it's gonna clog your arteries. That is only true in the event that you're eating a high carbohydrate diet because your body doesn't like carbs, so it's going to deal with that threat and try to process that crap. And then the meat and the fat that you eat doesn't get processed as well. I eat a ton of bacon. I eat a ton of steak. I eat a ton of liver. I eat a ton of fat. Eggs, yolk, extra yolks, please. Now, so because when you're low carb, then your body's processing all of that stuff correctly. So those old studies were done without factoring that in. It's completely untrue that saturated fat leads to heart disease. Period. End of story. If anyone believes that, you have been told a lie based on 30-year-old outdated debunked studies. In fact, eating a high-fat, low-carb diet corrects your cholesterol. So when I hear people be like, well, I want to go on statins because I don't want to stop eating cheese, you're like, oh, my gosh, you're going in the wrong direction. You're allowed to have all that stuff. You just got to get rid of the grains and the carbs.
Right.
And frankly, I don't know about you, I'd rather eat bacon. I'd rather eat meat and butter than a bread roll.
I want to go, just a a battle between the sexes. Off-topic question here, Elle, that I want to go back to. At your dinner the other night with your friend from the gym, when you told him those ladies were 20 years old, did he buy in immediately or did he push back at all?
Push back, but then here's the thing. There was, okay, I'm going to love this. There's something on the menu called the Impossible Burger, which is apparently like a, I guess, a vegetarian plant-based burger that tastes like meat. And it's funny because I guess the FDA recently was having issues with approving the substance that makes it taste like meat in that thing. And again, I don't know the, you know, I don't want to get involved in a political discussion about this company. But what's funny is my thought was, why do the impossible? Why don't you already eat the possible that's had its potential for the past, you know, 2 million years called real meat? It's lived up to its full potential already. How about that? Let's go with the possible. You don't need to. So, and then I laugh when people try to make stuff taste like meat. Hey, man, if you're craving something that tastes like meat, it's because your body wants the meat. Stop it already.
Just eat the meat.
You know?
Yeah, just eat the meat.
I hear people who have gone to being pescatarians, like, you know, fish and eggs and no meat, and they'll be like, oh, the smell of barbecue, though, really still. I'm like, that's your body telling you to eat the damn barbecue. That's,
well,
you know what I mean?
Okay, but to be fair, when I walk through the kitchen and there's a baked cake in the oven, my body's telling me I want that, too. What's the deal there?
But here's the thing. As you go longer down the road, it won't. Yeah. That bake will be cake in the oven, and you'll get grossed out by the smell about 3 months from now. So, again, I agree. Like, sometimes, you know, what's your intuition? Well, if you're coming from a toxic place, your intuition is Dunkin' Donuts, clearly, you know. But so I'm just like, eat the real stuff, people. Eat the real butter. No more margarine. No more of this junk. But don't do it if you're still eating high carb. You know, you got to sort of start to transition.
And I think that was being 14 days in now. That was because I had the veggies, the broccoli, the beef. Not worried about how much fat's on it. Yeah, I had that down early in this. Like, I mean, what's that take? It takes buying it and cooking it. But it was, I didn't realize how many carbs I was getting until, for me, it was looking at my fruity juices.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I had a problem.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I'm looking at those. I'm like, 50 grams in one serving? And the problem is, I never drink just one serving. I'm getting 100 grams in, like, one of my servings. So eliminating those has taken a little, I mean, that's taken some work and some thought. But
yeah, don't drink your carbs. That's the number one rule. Stop it with the drinking stuff, because one bottle might be two servings, and that's 100 total carbs. And if I told you as a woman, really, your one orange juice bottle, that's your whole day of carbohydrates when you could have a ton of vegetables, a ton of this, a ton of that. Why would you waste it on that? And I remember my dad back in the day who developed type 2 diabetes and was a very healthy, you know, seemingly healthy eater, thought, you know, right, like everyone else, oh, orange juice. He's like, how is orange juice bad for you? My dad was like so confused by this. He was like, how is a glass of orange juice is like one of the worst things anyone could ever do.
It is part of a healthy
immediately.
a healthy breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, real quick, we're about out of time here, and this has been a blast. And I want to give you some time to talk about an event you have coming up, but and also I want people to buy the Primal Blueprint, which is the organization you work with, and if you have also thyroid issues, your book, the Paleo Thyroid Solution. But just in by way of a last question, what is a treat for L. Russ?
Oh, you know, there's so many good paleo ones out there, because there's companies that are even making, like, paleo waffles.
No, wait a minute. I'm going to interrupt you real quick and just say that... Cameron 14 days ago would have immediately, whatever you're going to say right now, he's going to say she's lying. There is no good treats that are possible on this. So prove me wrong.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll totally prove you wrong. First of all, there are so many great paleo granola companies. So those can replace all the grain stuff. They're great. There's paleo cookies. There's a company called the No Company, K-N-O-W. They make paleo primal grain-free cookies and other things like waffles. Now, they're expensive, but here's the thing. There's also paleo pasta from Capello's. It's made from egg and almond flour. When you eat something like a paleo waffle or a paleo pasta, you can barely finish it. And why? Because it's filled with fat and satiating things. Your brain stops and doesn't want to eat anymore. If you had regular waffles in front of you, you'd just keep eating plates of them because they're just empty, empty, empty. Nothing is filling you up. So, you know, some of this stuff is more expensive. But there are remedies, right? You know, you feel like you want some cookies. Capello's also makes cookie dough. There's lots of companies online on Amazon, even if you can't get to Whole Foods, where you can buy some paleo grain-free snacks to have around. Now, I do suggest that in the first month, 6 weeks, when you're going through this, to not do any of that stuff. You know, not do any of the, like, you know, substitutes, just to clean it out and not go down that road, because still paleo granola can be high in calories and carbs if you eat a whole bag. Another thing to just as a warning is, you know, while nuts and seeds are good for you, we often eat them by the handfuls. And that can be a downfall here when you're trying to look for snacks or things and you reach for, you know, normally nuts are like a serving size of a shot glass. I don't know anyone that eats a shot glass of nuts. I eat like three handfuls, right? So those can be a slippery slope and people have to be careful at first with not going overboard with that. But the most important thing in the first 6 weeks is that even if you don't lose any weight because maybe you're eating too much fat, that's okay. The goal is you're getting rid of the carbohydrate dependency.
Well, yeah. And I think just to throw one thing in real quick, and it's just the mindset and the mind shift of, okay, whether your goal is to lose weight and get to a healthy weight and maintain, or whether you're it's just strictly health. I've had too many conversations, Leland. You're not the first one that I know has done this. L is not the second one that I know. I mean, it's kind of been a slow bar of research and doubt that, okay, this is just another fad, which I've had four conversations this week with friends that I've told, you know, they've invited me. Like last night, I'm down in the middle of Kentucky, L, and I'm getting ready to speak at a church, and they've got loaded with pizza down in the basement. Ah, come on down and get a slice. I'm like, you know. So, but no matter what it is, there's a possibility. Well, go ahead.
If it's a fad, it's a 2.5-million-year-old fad. That's the funny thing about it.
Well, and
right?
It's
not a fad. It's been happening for as long as we've been evolving. It's a very, very long time.
Well, what I've been arguing is I go back to Atkins. Atkins, this has an element of that in it, if it's not it outright. The problem with that, when Atkins came in, 30 years ago, we all thought that was our license to eat as much bacon as we wanted to, eat as much beef as we wanted to, you know, cut the carbs, and we can have as much. And family members, that's all they did was eat all day. The bad stuff, and this is just kind of, I don't know, I feel like sometimes we shift in pendulums, way over here, way over here, and I feel like this is just...
But this is about a relation, this is really about a change of lifestyle. That's what it is it's, and Elle, I'm sure you'll agree with this, but essentially, if it's not what we would have eaten ancestrally, don't eat it. Right?
Right, I mean, and let me clear up Atkins, because Atkins is a very similar paradigm. It's high fat, you know, kind of, well, it's high fat, kind of high protein, low carb. But let me tell you the problems with it. It didn't say eliminate grains. It didn't say cut out these oils. It didn't go into pastured animals and other things involving this. So you might have been eating a ton of bacon, but were you eating nitrate-filled, salty bacon? See, now that has other problems, right? So Atkins didn't distinguish, right? We distinguish and get to the root of the ancestral stuff, even though it's a similar paradigm.
Well, but I think that's,
right?
So that's
you
what
you could have effed up on Atkins' paradigm because you didn't know about the things we just talked about. You know what I mean?
But to me, that's kind of what makes me trust this more, is that, okay, this has got the good parts of that, you know, it certainly, I saw people lose weight. They gained it back, and then maybe that was the reason why. And this is just kind of, like I said, landing in the soft spot of what makes sense.
What is your motto at Primal Blueprint? Eat like your life depends on it.
And live awesome. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the best part of it.
And live long, drop dead.
Live long, drop dead. I love it.
Drop dead. I challenge everybody, because at the end of the day, this really isn't a fad. And you know what? Whatever you're doing, it's not working. You know it. And, you know, another famous quote from Mark Sisson is, not my job to convince you that your life sucks.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You got to get there yourself, right? I had to get there too. I had to go, okay, you know what? Yep. This is not working, right? So if you're there, and also another thing too, don't try to enlist family members. Don't try to sell it to anyone. Just do it yourself. Use the willpower. You try to do it. Oh, my husband and I are going to, good luck with that. It's not going to work out. You do it for you. If someone wants to follow, that's fine. The strength in this is that it's going to actually fall into other areas of your life. You become Primal Paleo and you have the willpower to get off of sugar and do this, your brain's going to be working better. You're going to be more productive. Also, people do this for anxiety. People get off talked to a woman the other day, Holly Perkins. You can look her up online. She was on antidepressants since she was 11. She's 42. She just got off them a year ago because she had no idea until now. And she's a fitness trainer, celebrity fitness trainer.
Wow.
She had no idea that she literally had a serious allergy and issue with gluten and with grains and dairy. And she literally got off of like 25 plus years of antidepressants with a story of, well, this is just the way you are. You're just a depressed person. This is just who you are. So if you have a story out there like that, I don't know, man, consider going down this road and working with a doctor who understands this paradigm so that you can maybe get off these meds. People get off of blood pressure medication, statins, antidepressants. People get certified as a primal health coach to help their psychology patients because of anxiety. Because again, like I told you, you've got that sugar drop because you're a sugar burner. Anxiety starts to happen. Cortisol starts pumping. Cortisol, that's the fight or flight. That's the stuff that makes you want to run. That's what makes you anxiety ridden. So this is not just about weight and health, right?
Yeah.
This is like the whole thing. This is your entire body. And the only one that can do it is you, because mouth to anus, that's all you. Nobody is force feeding you. You know what I mean?
We have to wrap up here, but I want to. You have a really cool event coming up because you, in addition to working with Mark Sisson and the Primal Blueprint and being an author and actress in your own right, you're also working to improve the lives of women, and you've got an empowerment event coming up. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what's going on and how people can sign up? It's online, I understand. So,
absolutely. It's a free online event with a ton of amazing speakers. We've got a woman who wrote the book on the female orgasm, to a Latina lesbian comedian, to a couple of guys to give their perspectives, and life coaches. You can go to riseupkickass.com. That's riseupkickass.com. You can sign up for it. It starts June 17th, and, you know, speakers will come out, and you just get an email at you every day, and there'll be video interviews with myself. And also, if anyone is interested in how to meal plan this type of stuff I'm talking about, go to KarenMartell.com, M-A-R-T-E-L.com. She is a master primal paleo keto food planner. And if you need a way to get started, go to her website. She's got a lot of free and interesting meal plans to help you get on this road, or you can go to the PrimalBlueprint.com as well.
Awesome. And Elle, you also have a book. Just real quick, I want to let people realize that as well. It's also a bestseller, and that is The Paleo Thyroid Solution. And so if anybody out there has an issue with thyroid or anything like that, it might be a good idea as they research that process and consult with their doctors that they read some of the information that you've put it together in that.
Yeah, and I also offer now a free thyroid guide, because people would email me after the book and I would give them, here's what blood tests to take, here's some podcasts, here's how to find a doctor in your state. So what I did is I made a free thyroid guide that you could just download, and you can go to my website, lruss.com, and it'll say free thyroid guide. There's no, you're not going to get hooked up to some, you know, no obligation, and just download that. That's where you start. You don't even have to buy my book. Just do the free thyroid guide and go from there.
Awesome.
One of the hard things about having this issue is you end up with a lot of doctors steeped in 40-year-old outdated, you know, medical protocols. And so my way is, hey, here's the free info now. Just get on the right path, people. I wasted too much money and time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. Elle, it's wonderful to talk to you again. Thank you so much for your time today.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Elle.
We appreciate you joining the Disruption Zone. A lot of information there, Cameron. A
whole bunch.
Yeah, and I just,
that's why you've been inundated with texts from me the last 2 weeks.
Well, it's okay, though. For instance, like I want to make this kind of point, too, here, because, and again, I one of the things I love about what she said is don't preach.
You haven't. And that's what I think. I've kind of got on the beginning of this. I'm excited, and I'm, you know, I'm talking to mom and dad about it. But I caught myself a couple times saying, you do whatever you want to do.
Right,
that's
right.
I'm going full bore into this now.
Yeah.
And you've never done that. You've always just said, this is what I eat.
Well, and I do. I have talked to some family members, but I had, you know, one family member was like, nope, not interested, and I back away. That's fine. But I don't ever want to, I don't want anybody to think that just because we're dedicating an episode to this that we're trying to preach, because we'll have other stuff on health. It is an issue facing our state.
And sometimes we'll actually preach.
Well, we'll preach. All right. I'll admit. But
I don't mean about this either.
Well, here's one thing I would say. By way of disclaimer, always work with your doctor whenever you're making major physical changes like this. But for goodness sakes and for your sake, please make sure you get a doctor that is open to the changing realities of basically what we have been told versus what is real in terms of the research that's out there.
And isn't that the way science and all these studies and where we're supposed to be going is? We're finding out more.
Yeah.
And sometimes finding out more is finding out we were doing it right a long time ago.
Yeah.
And we've gotten into bad habits. And it just kind of clicks with everything that I've kind of noticed in the last 14 days of this just, and I look, I'm not saying go by feeling.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I will tell people this, not only that, just read.
Yeah.
I mean, don't listen to you. Don't listen to me. Look it up and do your own research. And if I think what Elle said there matters, do it for yourself.
Yeah.
Because I've lost 80 pounds in the last 2 years. Last month, this is why I started. Last month, I got into bad habits, which included my Frosted Flakes and Captain Crunch. They were in my cupboard, and at one point, half of them was gone. And I think only 6 hours had gone by since I bought them. So, I mean, I felt myself immediately start to turn that bad corner again.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to go back up I didn't want to go back up to where I was.
Right.
So I thought, okay, and let's make some changes that you can live with. And everything we've done so far, Lynn, we've not gotten into too many details, but it's livable. It's not even hard.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's not hard.
It tastes good.
I eat as much as I want.
I've seen your pictures on Instagram.
I eat as much as I want. The question is, how much do I want?
Yeah.
And so I went from an average of really having a hard time making sure I stayed under 3,000 calories a day and having to try.
Right. And counting your calories.
So now it's rare that I go over 2,000 calories a day, and you know that I'm active.
Yeah. No, and she said it too, and you said, I've heard you say this many times, and I've noticed this a couple days since I've been on it, is you just, and I don't know if it's because I feel better, so I'm just overactive, right. But I forget it's lunchtime.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, why is it lunchtime?
Yeah.
It's not lunchtime unless my body tells me it's lunchtime.
That's right.
It's not lunchtime because it's noon.
Right.
And that was the thing I heard you say, and I heard Elle say it in there. You eat when you need to eat.
Eat when you need. You
don't eat because it's time.
You throw away the title breakfast, lunch, and dinner, yeah. And you change it to it's mealtime.
Yeah.
I need something to eat. Whenever you do, you eat. And then you move on, you know. But we've been doing, I've been doing the 16-hour, 8-hour window, like eating within an 8 or 9-hour window. And that made
of each meal?
Well, basically, a lot of times I'll just go from like 9 o'clock at night until 1 or 2 in the afternoon, and I won't eat anything in that period of time.
You don't get up and see, that's the other thing we've been told. Get up, get something to eat, get your metabolism.
I don't do
going.
That. And I do.
I've not heard that at all.
And I have to do 4 hours of live radio, which requires an intense amount of focus.
It does require that, whether you put it in or not.
Right, sure. But the point is, because that's not exactly a job you can sort of cakewalk in, and I don't have any problems with being able to keep my focus. I don't have the energy issues. I oftentimes, like you, will just get done the show and be like, oh, it's noon.
I'm not eating.
I think I'd like to eat something now.
Yeah.
You know, so it's pretty awesome.
Or in some cases, it's 3 p.m.
Yeah.
Did I have lunch? I didn't have lunch.
The book is The Primal Blueprint. You can pick it up at a used bookstore. I got the first copy that I got at Half Price Books for like $7. And then they had a new edition come out, so I went ahead and copped for the new edition, which has more information in it. And then I just bought the Keto Reset, which she referenced in there, and it's a terrific tool if you want to take it to the next level.
Well, and I think this is one other thing you and I need to add, because you rely a lot on Sisson.
Yes,
Mark
I do.
Mark Sisson,
yes,
right?
I do, yeah.
I have heard, I've been listening to a lot, I haven't jumped into the last 14 days, but to Vinny Tortorich, who's on the Adam Carolla show.
Also a good source.
The point is, and you said this to me early, there's not a lot of competition in here. There's not a lot of legalism in here. It's whatever works.
Yeah.
And this is the blueprint that works, and a lot of new teachers and bloggers are out there sharing it. There's a lot of science that seems to be behind it. And just try it.
Yeah.
And try whatever works for you,
just
let
try
it work for you.
There's a few. Vinny Tortorich is a good one. Also, Rob Wolf is another good one. And then Mark Sisson. These guys back up what they say and what they do with science, and they work with doctors. And
yeah,
I think that's a key point right there. So, all right, well, it's been a kind of a different version of the Disruption Zone. But, hey, you know what we're doing? We're trying to help you disrupt your bad health.
We're disrupting our own right now. You're 2 years in. I'm 14 days in. Well, maybe a little bit further, but yeah.
All right, I'm trying to decide if I want to put this story in there or not.
I think you need to. We can put
it
in right now.
It's a big confession on my part for why I'm doing this, what drives my path.
Is this what I've heard?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Why wouldn't you put this in there?
All right. At 38 years old, I was diagnosed with extremely high blood pressure. I almost had a stroke.
Stroked out, almost.
Almost. It put me in the hospital for a couple days. And I'm not told this in any public forum before. But I was told by medical professionals that it was genetic.
Well-meaning.
Well-meaning.
I'm sure.
That it was genetic, and I was also given some advice on what to do that was very, very bad. And I could tell pretty soon after the fact that the advice was very, very bad. And that's when, on top of that and what my dad went through, that I started to search around and see what I could find. And when I found Mark Sisson's website and I started looking through this, marksdailyapple.com, when I started enacting this way of eating, this lifestyle, everything changes. Medications drop by over half. The way I feel is literally, I'm not just saying this, you hear people say this stuff,
I know,
like I felt when I was in college, if not better. My energy levels, all of that stuff that men worry about happening in their 40s is not happening to me.
Yeah.
And I think...
Oh, is that right?
That's right.
Oh, is that right?
That's right. Okay. But I was on a road where it would have. I was on a road
you
where
it would
have.
You know that for a fact.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think so. And so...
That's an interesting instinct that you seem to have.
No, but I'm just saying that, guys, you don't have to accept...
Right.
At 45 that you have to be 70. And you don't have to accept... You know, diabetes runs in my family. And I refuse to get it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, heart disease, those kinds of things. You don't have to. Yes, there are genetic factors that play in your health. There are genetic things that, you know what, you're going to have a propensity for this.
Yeah.
Or you're going to have a propensity for that. But you're not a slave to your genetics. You're not complete. I mean, you're going to look a certain way. You'll be a certain height. You're going to be a certain color hair and a certain color eyes.
Nowadays, you can change all that.
Well, yeah, that's true,
you
too.
Can.
But you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're not stuck in that pattern just because your last three generations died of heart disease, or your last three generations died of whatever, diabetes or whatever. You don't have to put up with that.
I think more than anything, what I'm noticing, and I'll let you speak for yourself, and that's what you're doing, but just take the time, learn what you can learn. Don't settle for where things are. And because that's what I was doing when I was at my heaviest. Is it, I was just, yeah, I'd like to work out. Yeah, I'd like to lose weight, but yeah. I don't know where to start. I felt like I needed a jump start. And I think, I don't know that this is a jump start, but it's a change that is doable. It's not a diet. It's not a fad. It just makes sense, and it's working. And I think that's what matters to me.
By the way, big congrats. This is officially the longest episode of the Disruption Zone that we've ever done.
I am a new convert, so I'm excited about our new beliefs here and what we're doing. And we need to revisit this.
Yeah,
In 6 months, a year, and see if I think we can revisit. See if I can keep it up. I think I can. We'll see.
I think you will. All right, that's been the Disruption Zone. We really appreciate you taking the time to listen to us, and we'll be back with more. Just keep tuned. The Disruption Zone.